Another very important thing is that key indicators complement but do not replace the current comprehensive licensing system. All right, this is not something where once you have your indicators, that's all you use. You do not do that. And I'm going to talk about that more in upcoming slides. The key is that by time savings, you know, obviously if you're going out and you're measuring only the key indicators, you're just looking at those, you're not doing comprehensive reviews, you're saving time. So you have the ability to refocus your valuable licensing staff time where you can work more with problem facilities. You can spend more time on TA and additional inspections of problem facilities. And you can reward good facilities through the use of the key indicator approach. Okay. Looks like I think I went too quickly and I did skip a slide, didn't I? Yeah, I did. All right, I'm sorry. When I hit it, I must have kept my finger down a bit too long. And I skipped one. Let me just go through this very, very quickly because I've covered most of this. Most of the development has occurred in licensing childcare. My background is as a developmental psychologist. I know kids programs really, really well when it comes to early care and education. My area of specialization is not in child residential or adult residential, content-wise. But what you're going to see is that the methodology works really well in any service type. This is something that, you know, you can use this in human services, it can be used in healthcare, it can be used in any type of service. The methodology can be. But you cannot take the content from one particular area and decide to move it to another. It's never intended to do that. All right? You have to develop key indicators in every single type of service type. But the methodology transfers really, really well. I talked about developing the national child care benchmarks, and that, very honestly, the key indicators were the precursor and ushered in risk assessment and differential monitoring, which I will talk about in the slide that is going to be coming up. When you tie weighting systems with the key indicator approach. Okay, that's why I introduced the whole notion of weighting systems, and I'll show you what I mean by that in this particular slide. Here are some of the distinctions between risk assessment and differential monitoring. I want to draw, you know, I want to show you the differences between this because in the literature, when you look at it, these terms sometimes are used interchangeably, and we have to be very, very careful because I think in the past, from conversations that I have had with individuals in this room, that there was some confusion early on when we first started to hear about everything that was happening, you know, in California. Risk assessment and differential monitoring, generally the source of data are, you know, from compliance history, from weighting systems. And by weighting systems, essentially what that means is that each individual regulation is assigned a particular risk factor or weight. And generally that runs anywhere from a low risk item that might get a weight of 1 to a high risk item that would get a weight of 10. If you don't weight, essentially what you're saying is that all regulations are created equal and are administered equally. Okay, in other words, you know, it's got an absolute value, 1 or 0. The more I thought about that, the more it didn't resonate with me. I was having problems with that because, although I'm not a regulator, I've done a lot of research related to regulations and public policy and licensing. And one of the things that, you know, just didn't make sense to me was that if you didn't, you know, not having a signature on a form as versus, and this is something I've used this example now throughout the past 3 days, 3 or 4 days, having all poisons locked in a cabinet, that somehow that they shouldn't be assigned in equal weight, okay? That not having poisons that, you know, were not locked placed children and clients at greater risk than, you know, not having a particular signature on a form, for instance. Risk assessment differential monitoring helps you to determine how often to visit and the type of review that you do. Do you do a comprehensive review or do you do an abbreviated review? Key indicator systems, you also use compliance history data, but you organize it into a high group and a low group. Okay? The high group are the individuals who are, have the key indicators applied. The low group, that's where you're looking at comprehensive reviews and more technical assistance and training. Key indicators have been tied to outcomes. We now have national benchmarks in childcare, just in childcare. In child residential, adult residential, we do not at this particular point. That still needs to be developed over time. And I'm going to talk more about that and how we can do that in the future. Key indicators, relate to time savings and cost savings. And you have the ability to redistribute your resources. And what California is doing, it's a perfect example. That's how they're applying all of this. They're redistributing their resources in this particular way. So, let's switch to today and kind of look towards the future. That's the history. I think that there are some very, very exciting things, and I think, again, and this happens so many times, and I love California in their ability to kind of take on tough problems and everything, and just kind of go being 5 years ahead of everyone else and trying something new, and very honestly, what you guys are doing is really unprecedented in the sense of when you look at the number of facilities, when you look at all of the service types and how you're approaching this. Generally, when I work with a particular state or when NARA works with a particular state, we work with individual service types. Yesterday when we met with the information system staff and everything and looking at all of your various service types and everything and all your data systems and the potential to impact 70,000 plus facilities, I mean, that's really remarkable when you think about it. Okay. So the focus in using key indicator systems, the particular methodology, has changed from a balancing act of program compliance and program quality to one of necessity as states deal with very large budget shortfalls. We're in the Great Recession. All states, I mean, California isn't alone in this. Every single state is dealing with budget shortfalls. And they're looking at how can we be more efficient and how can we be more effective. I have to be very honest with you, in the last year and a half, I know NARA has, this has happened for NARA as well, we've gotten a lot of phone calls about key indicators. There's been a resurgence, a real interest in looking at it. Like I said, not so much concerned about the balancing act, but how can we be more efficient in our resources without, shortchanging our licensing mandate and making sure that health and safety safeguards are still in place. Okay, that's the advantage with using the key indicator approach, is that it's based on a statistical methodology which statistically predicts when you go out and you use those key indicators, if you find full compliance with the key indicators, it statistically predicts as if you went out and you applied all of the regs. And the opposite is also true. If you find non-compliance on any of the key indicators, it statistically predicts that you will find other areas of non-compliance. Okay. There's more emphasis now on the cost savings related to the key indicators. And now we're looking at an expansion of the key indicator methodology from childcare to all human services. And that's something that has really, really changed. That we're probably getting more interest on the child residential and the adult residential side. On child care, we're in pretty good shape in the sense of, having key indicators in many, many states and also having national benchmarking because of the work that NACRA has done and has really focused us in on how to move us forward with national benchmarks. Now, using the key indicators as a risk using them as risk assessment indicators in determining which programs get comprehensive reviews and monitoring is very, very important. Okay, as I said just a minute ago, it statistically predicts if you find non-compliance, because this is always a concern for many individuals that they're thinking in terms of, well, you're just going to use the key indicators, there's never an opportunity to do comprehensive reviews. No, that's not the case. If you find non-compliance, it will kick you into that. The quality of licensing is maintained because of that. The key is the statistical methodology in this particular case. Now, with childcare, you know, some states have asked me, can we just use the 13 indicators? Or states, developing their key indicators using the statistical methodology. In childcare, we have the ability that you could do that. I still recommend states to go through the statistical methodology and not just take the 13 indicators, even though they are being used in a national benchmarking fashion at this particular point. In adult residential and in child residential, we're not even close to that. Okay, we're at the infancy stage. You know, we're this for me with adult residential and child residential, it's like we're back in the early 1980s. Now, my hope is that being able to work with folks in the audience and with other states, it's not going to take us 30 years to get to national benchmarking and tying things to outcome studies. That we can shorten that because we can learn from what other service types have done, for instance, in childcare, where we can begin to think in terms of how can we shorten that when it comes to outcome studies, when it comes to national benchmarking. Okay, and as I've said, with all other human services, you must follow the key indicator systems methodology since there are no national benchmarks. And that's what California is doing. That's what this is all about. Okay, we're here to talk about that statistical methodology and how California is moving forward in doing that, where they're validating what already exists out in the field with their kits, with the statistical methodology, with the database that now will be created through the Institute for Social Research. You know, we had a whole series of meetings to see how we could do that. It's definitely very, very doable, and we'll probably talk about this more in the smaller sessions in the sense of the details and being able to do all of that. Now, the bottom line with all of this is the more efficient and effective use of limited governmental resources, a rebalancing and refocusing of monitoring to ensure health and safety safeguards continue in place through a statistical methodology. Okay, it's that balancing act. We want to make sure that we, you know, when I originally came up with this, this was not about changing regulations. This was really a management methodology. How can we be more effective with our licensing reviews, with our visits? Okay, that's the focus. This is not about deregulation. It's not about changing regulations. The regulations stay in place as they have always been. It's just that we get smarter about how we allocate our time. And we refocus it. That's the only thing that's what this methodology is all about. Okay. Okay. Just to summarize, because I want to make sure we have plenty of time for questions. From 1980 to 2010, the concern back then was just with time savings. Now in 2011 and beyond, and I don't see things changing anytime quickly. I really, really don't. I think, you know, unfortunately, this recession that, you know, we're supposedly coming out of, the ripple effects for state government, for the federal government, is going to be long lasting. So we have to build an infrastructure that responds to that. And I think that's the advantage here. That's what California, state staff is trying to do, is refocusing, their the way that they go about you know, utilizing staff time and with the whole review process. So it's, we're talking about time and cost savings, not just time savings. Between 1980 and 2010, it was mostly done in childcare. Now we're looking at all services. There's, you know, like I said, more interest all throughout. We've done childcare benchmarking in the past 30 years. What I'd love to see is that we can do benchmarking in all services from this point on. I talked about the substantial compliance issue. I talked about childcare national benchmarks. I think the safeguards were built in the past 30 years. I don't see that changing. I mean, the methodology should ensure that all of the safeguards are always there. But you have to follow the methodology as it's been laid out. In childcare from 1980 to 2010, we tied the indicators to outcomes. I'd like to be able to do the same thing in child residential and adult residential. But that requires, you know, a special look on, you know, what are the outcomes? What are the important things for your clients? You know, how do you know that you're being successful? In childcare over, you know, the past 30 years, we've gotten pretty good at that. You know, way the heck, I remember when I first got involved, you know, and Jana had talked about, you know, kind of doing a historical look back, you know, with her education in California. My first job when I started out was, Head Start was still a summer program, and I was a toddler teacher. That's how I started out back in the 1960s. You know, then it became a full day program, you know, later on. So, you know, we've got a long history, but back then, you know, the critical question in childcare was, were we going to damage kids by having them in care for 10 hours a day? Okay, we've gotten well beyond that. Now we're really clearly articulating what is quality of care for young children. We need to do the same thing in our other service types, in child residential and adult residential, and I'd love to have that conversation with individuals. We've got examples of adult residential in specific states, in Pennsylvania, child residential, development of risk assessment and weighting during those 30 years, but like I said, that's still very, very controversial, especially the weighting. Risk assessment, not so much. Some states have been very, very creative in how they go about doing that, but weighting systems are still pretty controversial. Like I said, I'd like to see us do national benchmarking in adult and child residential. And I'd like to see the further development of risk assessment and weighting systems, because I think it helps to enhance the work that we do with key indicators.